Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you guys doing? I hope you guys had a fantastic day thus far. If you guys are new to this channel, please do me a favor and hit the subscribe button. If you guys are looking for the most up-to-date information on the war that's going on inside of Ukraine. Now, I actually have a few guys right now on the ground inside of Ukraine. They're going to be filming documentaries as well. So hopefully here soon we should start seeing some footage. So maybe some episodes are coming out of there, depending on the internet situation where they're at and so on and so forth. So the time seemed to be coming to where the Chinese Communist Party is willing to do and say just about anything to deter Americans from intervening with them in Taiwan. Like, if you guys are new to the channel, we normally just discuss what is going on with inside of Ukraine and the troop movements on the ground. But this Chinese stuff is getting a bit more interesting, to say the least. Now, I will say I personally believe it's posturing in a sense that because I personally just can't see them cutting themselves off from the world trade, like over a small island. I don't think so. Maybe they could. I don't know. Currently, the United States exports $125 billion worth of goods from China. Like, I could be incorrect. I think we're like the third largest, or I don't know my stats fully on the economics of China, but I could be incorrect. And of course, maybe China doesn't really care and would take the island back, and maybe they just don't really care. You know, either way, what they've been saying over the last couple days is pretty wild. The 80th Army of the People's Liberation Army of China, it's kind of a mouthful, but anyway, they posted on their social media network to get ready for war. Like, they made this very public. Then to add to it, the Chinese defense minister did say, and I quote this verbatim, "If anyone dares to divide Taiwan from China, the Chinese military must not hesitate to start a war, no matter what the cost." That's pretty insane to me, but I guess this kind of goes back to what I had thought previously, and that maybe they wouldn't want to do this because it would pretty much kill their economy. I personally believe that. Now, the Chinese military is also moving a significant number of equipment, like large equipment, the same kind of stuff we've seen going on inside of Russia going towards Ukraine. This is going towards a province that's actually facing Taiwan. Now, yesterday, the Chinese military actually conducted a live fire exercise in the waters near Pingtan Island on the Fujian province, which is literally just across from Taiwan. Now, for Americans that are listening to this, it may seem like a great distance. It's like the equivalent of roughly Florida to Cuba, or something like that. That's pretty much all it is. It's not very far. Now, you know, with all this tension, it's really built up here recently, and it's gotten a little bit out of hand, and it's mainly just over Nancy Pelosi. She's going to be touring, or she's actually just gone on her tour. She's doing it literally as I'm making this video, through Asia. And it has a few stops, including Japan, South Korea, Malaysia, and Singapore. Now, the thing is, she left for this thing a couple days ago, but she did not mention Taiwan. I don't believe she would. I hope she makes the stop there. I really do. I personally believe that this is a sign of weakness, like not making it very open that they're going to be going there. And I hope she actually does make the trip to the island. Now, China did threaten to shoot down her plane. I'm not a big Nancy Pelosi fan, but I don't really care about her political views here in America. I really care how she makes us seem to the world. Now, I want her to go there myself. I do. But one of the mouthpieces from the Chinese Communist Party had actually said this, and I do quote, "If a U.S. fighter jet escorts Pelosi's plane into Taiwan, this is an invasion. The PLA has the right to forcibly dispel Pelosi's plane and the U.S. fighter jets, including firing warning shots and making tactical movements of obstruction. If ineffective, then shoot them down." So basically they're saying they're going to do whatever they can to actually make it to where her plane and these U.S. fighter jets, I guess, are not going to enter. They're going to try to intercept them from actually making it to Taiwan. Now, this guy that has said this is actually a former army officer in the Chinese military, and he usually says stuff publicly that the government isn't willing to say, but this time the government officials pretty much have actually said this, and they've been trying to draw the same, well, a red line of sorts. China's actually issued the same red line warnings about Taiwan that Russia had actually issued about Ukraine. Now, I've said this before, and I do believe that if China was going to invade Taiwan, it would be here very soon. Like, we know about a lot of the stuff that's been going on. Some stuff had came out over the last 2 months of some video footage of them prepping for an invasion coming August, September timeframe, late summer. Like, that is a thing. We've seen it. I put a little bit on here. It was like a 3-hour long video, so I wasn't really going to sift through it all with you guys. But I personally don't want them to. I don't want them to do this myself. This would make an already fragile economy, I mean, the world economy, that is, collapse overnight. It would legitimately put us in the brink of World War III. I don't want to see it myself. Anyone who doesn't believe this is naive, but I am for standing up against bullies, and Russia and China have been bullying smaller countries and trying to force America's hand to do as they please. So it's kind of, I don't know. I don't really know where I don't know. I don't want World War III, but also don't want China to think that they can actually get away with doing stuff with us. So, but anyway, as you'll see, the Chinese government is actually making it very well known that there will be repercussions if she does visit the island. I personally think we need to test them and also let them know we aren't scared to take them on. I can assure you, I personally believe, and I could be incorrect, but our military is much, much better trained and equipped than the Chinese. I know they have a million-man army, whatever. Numbers don't really always add up. Like, look at Russia going into Ukraine. That doesn't really pan up. They basically just have a bunch of cannon fodder. Like, I think this is nothing more than just posturing. It's going to have to stop at some point, or they're going to get a little bit too comfortable. They may possibly do something really stupid. It wouldn't be wise of the Chinese also to make an attempt of a beach landing. So there's not really anywhere feasible. There's a couple spots, like a couple big areas that have large beaches. And one of the areas in particular actually has close proximity to airstrips and a port, which would be the ideal location. But this has already been planned for, I would assume. Like, I would expect them to dump munitions from the sky onto the island before attempting to actually storm the beaches. But that's pretty much what I got about what's going on between China and Taiwan and America. I mean, we're going to see what kind of plays out over the week ahead. I would assume the American market is probably going to react just a tad bit over the weekend, especially if she does go to Taiwan. Don't really know how it's going to pan out. Anyway, that's enough about China. Let's go ahead and move on to the war that is currently raging inside of Ukraine. Now, just the other day, the Russian embassy inside of London actually posted a tweet. Yes, they posted this tweet urging the execution of Ukrainian prisoners of war. Now, we'll go ahead and put this tweet up on the screen for you guys to see if you guys are over on the channel, but I'm going to read it aloud as well. And I quote this directly. This is from the Russian embassy account inside the UK. Okay, the Azov militants deserve execution, but death not by firing squad, but by hanging, because they are not real soldiers. They deserve a humiliating death. That's literally what came out. So just so you are well aware, there has been two separate videos of executions of Ukrainian POWs by Russians in the last 48 hours. I tell you guys right now, do not go searching for these things. Do not do it. One of the videos shows a Ukrainian soldier being castrated, shot to death, and then his body was then abused. Then there's another one of explosion that actually killed more than 50 Azov POWs in Olavinka? Which is a Russian-occupied territory currently. They clearly need this to be deemed, well, they need to be deeming Russia as a terrorist state at some point. This needs to happen. There's not a human on earth that could tell me that these acts, along with the others we've seen in the past, are not committed of acts of terrorism. Like, they are clearly meant to intimidate and instill fear in the Ukrainian population that they are fighting against inside of Ukraine. This is on, like, that's what terrorism is. Like, from what I found out and what I believe, the Russian soldier who was on camera castrating the Ukrainian POW has been killed since this video was taking place. I recall seeing his face everywhere. Like, it was literally posted everywhere. And then less than 24 hours, apparently he's been found. I didn't go sifting on the internet to go find the images. I don't believe you should either. I just take my word for it on that one. I don't want to point something out here. Well, I guess I do want to point something out here because the Russian bloggers or influencers, whatever you want to call them, I don't really exactly know. They're just followers or people that spread the word of Russian information are claiming that this is, of course, an inside job. It's a piece of propaganda to spread hate towards the Russian government, which it's, the fact that this stuff's even going on in our day and age, we're in 2022. This stuff should not be happening. Like, nothing like... That's why no one's able to get away with anything during this time of war. It's the most well-documented war in history, 100%. This has more documentation behind it than World War II. And I am a big World War II, like, nut. That's why I'm very passionate about history. And right now we're seeing, like, an immense amount of just misinformation. And I literally saw one guy claiming that this was going on because he was saying that the guy that was wearing the shoes, he was wearing, like, blue and yellow shoes, these tennis shoes in the video, he was wearing Ukrainian soldier, or he was a Ukrainian soldier that was doing this because the shoes were blue and yellow, and he wasn't a Russian soldier because the Russians wouldn't wear tennis shoes. I mean, I've legitimately made the joke for the past 5 months about how piss poorly the Russian military is equipped. Like, we've seen many, many times on this channel during the reaction videos of Russian soldiers wearing civilian clothing. Remember the guy with the red backpack? Like, we've seen him in multiple videos. He was like a captain or a commander down there, down in Mariupol during that whole big thing that happened about 3 months ago. And then he ended up stepping on a mine. Like, y'all have to remember, like, this it's just crazy to me. Like, the Russians are not, they're not well fitted out. Like, they really aren't. Like, the other thing here is, if you're trying to push the narrative that Zelensky had these men also slaughtered, because that's also one thing they've been talking about, he wanted to apparently prevent them from revealing the truth. Like, my question is, what truth? Like, what truth are you talking about? I don't want to be that guy, but Zelensky is, he's Jewish, right? Question, like, right? Correct? Like, so why would a Jewish individual want to save so-called Nazis? Like, I'm asking a question here. Like, he has been proactively trying to get these men back. And I forgot to mention this, by the way. One of the Russians is also claiming that a HIMARS took out these POWs, which is somewhat strange, because that would mean the HIMARS was only targeting Ukrainian POWs, not the guards, not, well, I guess that would mean no one was guarding them at the time the strike came through, correct? I don't know. It all doesn't really add up. So we're going to keep going. The burn rate of the current Russian officers may be hitting a breaking point as well. And what I mean by this is the fact that they could actually hit an unsustainable amount of losses that will be extremely difficult to recoup in the near future. Like, losses among Russian officers at the company level and the field grade level have been unsustainable. Like, Russia has actually responded to this by recruiting soldiers and sending them to a very short officer selection course, an OCS course. Like, very, very, very short school. Like, it legitimately takes years to train a good military leader. Like, legitimately years. And even more so, a leader you can trust to lead soldiers in a combat environment. Because if you don't have good leaders in a combat environment, you're then just going to sustain even more losses. Like, that's very true, is it not? Like, despite Putin's claim as well that sanctions aren't hurting the Russian economy, it seems that they might be taking just a tad toll. Western sanctions have been strangling the Russian economy as a whole over the last few months, which has actually started to snowball a bit. And there's now over 1,000 Western corporations that have actually withdrawn from the country itself. And it's actually triggered a 45% decline in Russian GDP. He is clearly attempting to save face with his population, but in the end, it really does not matter to him, like, or the average Russian. Well, not or the average Russian. I mean, the average Russian is going to be hurting, because as long as it's meeting his goal inside of Ukraine, he's not really going to care. Like, he's going to continue to spew the same rhetoric that the entire country needs to come together to go against the West, which will then bring them, of course, out of the current situation they have found themselves in. But both parties here inside the United States, with inside of Congress, have now supported the transfer of long-range missiles for the HIMARS. Like, as I've talked about many, many times, and I actually have promised you guys I would not bring this up anymore, so I promise to keep it very short. But this transfer process is fairly significant, because it would actually probably take weeks and or up to a few months to make it happen. So you have a quick understanding on the comparison of what's being utilized inside of Ukraine currently. The Russian Smerch, okay, has a range of 70 kilometers and holds 12 rockets, but its deviation area is 210 meters by 210 meters, which means it's fairly inaccurate. For instance, just so you guys are aware, that's about as accurate as 2 football fields wide by 2 football fields long. That's where the rockets hit. So having a chance of actually having a direct hit with this thing is only 15%. And that's with 12 rockets being fired. 12. The HIMARS, for instance, has 12 rockets in it, but only needs one, okay? And it has a chance of direct hit being 98%. By the way, the cost to destroy a fortified object is pretty interesting. They claim it costs Russia literally $1.3 million by using a Smerch. And it costs America roughly $150,000 to $450,000 to literally destroy an entire fortified object. Like, we're talking one, it was 20 by 20. Okay. And I found it very interesting, so I thought I would actually share with you guys. And it came from a gentleman named Vladimir Desenko. I don't know. Somebody had retweeted or something. I was like, I don't follow the guy. I read through it and I was like, wow, this thing's really, really interesting. Went into like 155 millimeter versus 155 millimeter. It's kind of insane the amount of rounds that are shot on the Russian side of things compared to the Ukrainian and American stuff. Like, it's literally sometimes like 20 to 1. It's pretty insane. I also ran across this video that is pretty moving. Mike. Literally, it's saying you should move to Russia.
This is Russia. Delicious cuisine. Beautiful women. Cheap gas. Rich history. World famous literature. Unique architecture. Fertile soil. Cheap electricity and water. Ballet. Cheap taxi and delivery. Traditional values. Christianity. No cancel culture. Hospitality. Vodka. Economy that can withstand thousands of sanctions. Time to move to Russia. Don't delay. Winter is coming.
I honestly would... I would have thought this thing was fake, by the way, and satire, but it's spread across multiple, like, different pro-Russian accounts, so I guess they really want it to be seen as legit. So there you go. We're going to move over to some mapping. I'm sure a lot of y'all out there are excited about that. This is pretty much what we talk about every single one of these videos. Now, red is going to be Russia. Blue is going to be Ukraine. So I'm going to kick it off here real quick. The southern portion of the country seems to be under control by the Ukrainian army. Now, what I mean by this is the artillery. Because firms data is showing that most of the fires are actually on the Russian side of things, like the Russian side of the front line, like on the back, deep behind the front lines. Now, the Russians still have the fire superiority and the air superiority on the eastern side of the country as of now. But you're going to notice, if you were to look at it, it's mainly around the Bakhmut area, so you are aware. But down near Kherson, all that, like from Kherson over to like Melitopol, has been pretty much on fire. Now, there hasn't been much change inside of Kharkiv, so everybody who's looking, this is Kharkiv right here in the northern part of the country. You guys who are listening, you guys know where Kharkiv is at, so I'm sure you've probably seen the YouTube channel a few separate times. There was actually a Ukrainian patrol that discovered a Russian recon element outside of Chuihiv, which ended up, while they were neutralized, there's been no artillery attacks in the last 48 hours inside of Kharkiv. Kharkiv itself is pretty calm. Now, the Ukrainian military has actually been able to hold the area secured back from the Russians just outside of Izium. Scroll down here near Izium. This is the area I'm talking about right here. They took this back 48 hours ago. They made a push out of Dolnya, move forward. The current state of Bohorodichyn is unclear currently, but I do not think they will actually be able to maintain any type of presence inside the city, and the forces will end up having to retreat or wave the white flag, whichever it is. Now, the Ukrainian military is operating in the forest area outside of this area, and they do not control the town of Pasika, which is still under Russian control, which is just north of here, that area. So you guys are listening. Bohorodichyn, Slovyansk, just south of Izium, that whole area right now. The Ukrainian military is operating in these forests through here, where that little square is, just north of there. So they are doing probing attacks. I don't believe they're actually crossing that river, which I may have gone just a tad far, but pretty much through here. I don't believe they're actually crossing the Donetsk. So, but the Russians did attempt to actually advance towards Dolnya, which isn't really shocking since they actually literally just lost it 2 days ago. But the attack was repelled. Excuse me. So this is the area I'm talking. That's Dolnya right there. It doesn't show up on this map for some reason, but that's the exact location. And the Ukrainians have been moving out of there. I don't really know what the operational goal is here from either side. Maybe to hold them off. I don't know. But they have a fairly strong presence, that is the Ukrainians, pretty much on that line through there. They haven't been able to, that is the Russians, they haven't been able to get south of that at all. This entire war, like literally anything. But every single attack over the last 48 hours in the northeastern side of this country between Slovyansk and Siversky, as Siversky has pretty much been repelled. So all the way through here, this whole area in the northern side, all these areas, there's been a bunch, multiple attacks, a bunch of firefights, a bunch of stuff like that. They've all been repelled. Excuse me. We're going to move a little bit south towards Bakhmut, which is, of course, where you guys are looking at it. This seems to be the area where the Russians are putting a little bit more of their effort into as of late. I do believe, because they're starting to realize that they may need to get the route towards, a better route that is, towards Slovyansk. And if you guys are looking, this main MO3 route that runs through here, this black route that runs through, that goes up through the hills. So everybody who is new to the channel, right here, these are hills all through there where that little bread scrum is right here as well. And this main route, you guys see this big blue one. I put that on there because that's running across a ridge line. So this is another ridge line. So pretty much these are all ridge lines right here. So they need to find another route to the Bakhmut side of Siversk. They pretty much are realizing, I'm going to go ahead and clean this up for you guys and for myself because I cannot stand that. I believe this main route right here, they haven't been able to push through at all. That is the Russians. They need to get the high ground at some point. Like, they're most likely starting to realize they need to secure the high ground on the backside of Soledar in order to have any type of success on the eastern side of the country. Or they're just going to be sitting there in a stalemate for a long time. But for the first time ever, Russian troops have actually attempted to push into Bakhmut from the direction of Klinov. Okay? So here's Klinov right here. The Ukrainians were actually able to hold them off, but the Russians have actually started to try to make a push into Bakhmut from this area. They were forced to retreat. Now, the Russians have also gained a little bit of ground on the outer edges of Bakhmut as well, though the attempt was pretty much lackluster and the push to the outskirts of the city was unsuccessful, and this is what I'm talking about just right through there. But other than that, on the eastern side of the country, they've been attempting, that is, the Russians have been attempting, and there has been a bit more shelling over here in Avika. I'm pretty much just going to circle this entire area because it's pretty much where it's been. But other than that, they haven't made any advancements whatsoever. We're going to move over to Kherson now. So now we've moved a lot, way east. The Russian military has actually established a pontoon bridge down inside of Kherson, which is just on the, literally it's in the shadow of one of the rail crossings, which was destroyed, which somewhat is ironic. I believe it's roughly about right here. So the pontoon bridge is down there. So if I was able to find these images, the satellite imagery of it, of this crossing, you can bet the Ukrainian military knows of it as well. So you have the Russian 42nd Combined Arms Army inside of Kherson, and they're still trying to occupy the city. And what I mean by occupying, like I told you guys in the last episode, every single linear danger area, every single, literally choke point, crossing, like every single area is being heavily fortified by these men down there because they want to occupy and hold Kherson. Now, they will be heavily relying on the fact that they have to deal with a pontoon ferry. Yes, a pontoon ferry and a newly built floating bridge next to one that was literally already destroyed. Like, I get it. They need some sort of way to connect with the other side. Like, they need connection this way. They need it. They need it. It's got to happen. I mean, I get it. But just going to throw those out there. Like, if this thing's not targeted over the next week or so or destroyed by either Ukrainian soft units or HIMARS, like, I would be very shocked. Like, Ukrainian soft units have been doing some work within the city itself. Of course, they're not dressed up in any uniform. No one really knows who they are. But they've been doing, or it could be civilian saboteurs as well. Like, it really could be. We saw it in World War II in France. Same kind of deal could be happening here. But I will say, it seems the Ukrainians have just got under the Russian skin just a bit in the southern portion of the country because overnight, the Russians carried out a very large artillery strike inside the urban areas surrounding Mykolaiv. Not a bit of this attack, by the way, and when I mean like the urban areas, all through here, like pretty much I draw a circle around that thing is where it hit. Not a bit of this attack hit anything of military importance. And this attack apparently is a retaliation attack for a drone, like a loitering drone that hit a naval facility in Sevastopol. Like they literally hit this area with more than 50 rounds last night just on the outer edge of the city. I know that there was a gentleman who was killed as a big figure in the area who's like a grain exporter. I don't know his name. I saw his face. He was killed. He was one of the main guys inside the area that's exporting grain, but that's all I could give you. But that's pretty much what I got for you guys today. I hope you guys did enjoy this video. I will see you guys tomorrow with another episode. Other than that, I love you, and please subscribe if you guys are new. I'm out.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.